Well, the sun comes out, we get some warmish temperatures, and last week, 23rd of March, the Duluth shipping season kicked off. The John G. Munson left the Duluth Harbor at 5:30 in the afternoon. There was still some ice left over, which is almost sort of surprising given the spring that we've had. Duluth Seaway Authority's Adele Yorty joins us on the phone to give us the skinny. Adele, good morning. It's so good to talk to you again.
Good morning, Lisa.
So the Munson had to push a little bit of ice out of the way.
She did, but she is very ice capable. These the vessels that were built for lake traffic took into consideration the ice conditions of our winters, and she moved out very easily.
Have the icebreakers had to do a lot of work this year? I mean, we had ice, we had some cold temperatures, but it's really been, dare I say, mild-ish this winter.
It's been a little deceptive here at the head of the lakes for the mild-ish winter that we've had, because as you look to the lower lakes, they've had some incredible ice coverage, particularly Lake Erie and up through the Straits of Mackinac and the Sioux Locks, the river systems. I heard somebody say it great, we had half the ice this winter that we had last year, but still twice as much coverage as average. So we at this end of the lake started seeing blue water early on, but they're still breaking ice, trying to break big into little, as the Coast Guard says, and flush some of those river systems to prevent a lot of the ice from clumping up. There's still 1 to 3 feet in some parts of the lower lake system.
Wow. But here, at least in the Twin Ports, it hasn't been the issue that it's been in past years.
Nope. Alder was able to do the breaking in the harbor, and now it's been deployed down to the in the area of the Sioux Locks and helping with some transits across that section, eastern end of Lake Superior, from the Sioux Locks across to Whitefish Point and toward the Keweenaw. That's been tough, laying down some tracks and getting them to stay. So they've been doing some escorts of some of the vessels back and forth there.
Well, let's talk about our goofy winter a little bit. We didn't see a lot of snow, and we did see some slightly more moderate temperatures, but we did go through a cold snap the way we're wont to do, and of course that's going to create ice, and that's going to create an issue for the boats and the big ships. How did the winter affect our shipping season this past year, in particular as opposed to the year before, which was just sort of ghastly by any standards?
Yeah, this last season was pretty mild compared to the 2014 brutal ice conditions. We were able to finally pick up pace a little bit in the fall and early winter, make up a few of the cargoes that were lost during March, April of 2014. And surprisingly, there was a big push. The lake levels were higher, I guess, if there was one bright spot from all of the ice of the previous winter. It held off a lot of the evaporation, and when it melted, we had higher than average lake levels, and so the vessels that were moving around were able to carry more cargo on every trip. So we ended up about 2.3% higher at the end of last shipping season than the previous one. So a lot of that was due to loading deeper on those transits with iron ore and coal particularly.
Well, and we're finding out about how important that snowpack or ice is as we follow what's going on in Colorado with their droughts, and the snowpack and the snow cover that they depend on in the mountains just isn't there. So it even has some really good effects here in the Northland. So you were able to make it up and then some. So there wasn't really a deficit after last year, which was just, again, so difficult.
We came up tonnage higher. There were shipments that were never able to be delivered. You know, when you lose 5-6 weeks at the start of a working season, those 7 million tons just didn't get to go anywhere. But they were able to help replenish supplies and move. You could just imagine if we had been able to add that tonnage onto what we had already done, it would have been a banner year. So I think industry was pleased to be able to collect itself and make the deliveries that it could and be able to move well into January of this year. And now, of course, the demand, people are reading and hearing the news, you know, across the Northland about some of the mine layoffs. So the demand for an early and brisk start this year wasn't there, and so the Coast Guard could get out ahead of that and get a lot of the lanes open this year. So the passage through the ice has been nothing, I mean, no challenges compared to last year. What they've been able to do and do some convoys, they've done very well this year.
So is there any, are there any cargoes that you can say, okay, we can make up for last year? Obviously, part of it, as you are just alluded to, has to do with supply and demand. And if the demand is lower this year for iron ore, you can't really make up for deliveries that were never made. But are there some other products that are being shipped back and forth where you can say, hey, now we can really go to town on this?
You know, once something is on the books and doesn't get delivered, those are just, you know, that was part of last year. You start fresh with this year and whose needs are where. I think the I've heard people talk about the headwinds, the economy, and for our traditional bulk commodities that move through this port, you know, that's going to see take a bit of a hit this year. We'll have to see what the global economy does in terms of low ore prices and the low-cost steel that is being dumped. So we'll see what first quarter, second quarter, third quarter stack up to be for iron ore. There are about 20 private docks here in the Port of Duluth Superior. They move all kinds of bulk commodities, salt and cement and limestone. So some of those will continue with the demand and filling those orders. Our port terminal, the Clure Public Marine Terminal that the Port Authority owns and operates, is the only general cargo terminal in the port. So we handle what's called break bulk or project cargo, all things that are picked up with cranes, moved in super sacks or different kinds of packaging. So right down here at the base of Garfield Avenue, our terminal is going to see an awful lot of activity this year because of a lot of wind farm installations being done and a lot of work in the oil and gas industry. So a lot of those components and pieces of equipment will be coming through this port this year.
Is there any way of shipping sand and salt? Do we have anything to do with shipping sand and salt to, like, Boston, for example? Because I would imagine that could keep us pretty busy.
Salt actually comes in the other direction. We get our salt coming inbound to this neck of the woods. So it's not an outbound cargo for us. The salt actually comes out of mines that are in Cleveland, Ohio, and Goderich, Ontario. So that's an inbound cargo for us, as is limestone. What moves out of here traditionally is the western coal from the Powder River Basin out in Wyoming and Montana, and the iron ore pellets coming down from the range, as well as agricultural products from upper Midwest here in North Dakota and Minnesota.
Well, Adele, thank you so very much for joining us this morning. Oh, one last thing I need to ask you before we forget. One of the other things, one of the other economic pieces of the whole shipping puzzle in the Twin Ports has to do with folks that just love to watch the ships come in and go out.
Absolutely.
And once again, if folks are already starting to make plans for their ship watching, where can they find information, the most accurate and up-to-date schedules, so that they can either spy on what's going on through a harbor cam somewhere, or if they're actually up here visiting, they know what they can see, when, and where?
Sure. There are several sites. DuluthBoats.com is a great website that does a daily announcement of estimated arrival times and departure times so they can see which boats are coming in and out. There is another online called BoatNerd.com, which is a very easy handle to remember, and they have a vessel passage map that people can look at, and they can actually see the ships that are lined up, and all the way through the Great Lakes Seaway system, they can track them. If you have an iPhone, mobile devices, you can go to Ship Finder. It's about a $3.99 app, or $4.99. Another one is Marine Traffic, and so any of those kinds of downloaded, you can actually follow the vessels, what they're picking up, where they're heading, for those who are very ensconced boat nerds. And, of course, there's the Lake Superior Marine Museum Association website. They've got the Harbor Cam. You can watch that. Lots of ways for folks to get down to the piers in time to see the bridge go up. And everybody will be watching in the probably first full week of April for the first salty to be coming in. So stay tuned.
Adele, thank you so very much for joining us this
morning.
It's always great fun to talk with you.
You too. Thanks, Lisa. Bye-bye.
The Duluth Seaway Authority's Adele Yorty joined us this morning as our guest right here on Northland Morning.